Well, before we jump in the Word, let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your presence and for your power, your anointing to be able to minister and declare the Word of God, which our spirit and our life to the one who hears and to the one who receives. And Holy Spirit, that you would transform minds and change hearts and heal bodies and restore relationships today. For the glory of God, in Jesus' name, and everybody say,
amen.
Amen and amen. You know, we've been doing a series called Are You the Real Deal, right? I think this would be our fourth series. And we've been teaching out of the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Remember that? Abiding in Christ. But before we jump into Galatians, I wanted to read John chapter 15. And just listen, because I want to read it from the Passion Translation. I love how the Passion Translation just opens up everything. In John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruit branch to yield a greater harvest. How many of you can say, my life has produced a greater harvest, spiritually speaking? The words I've spoken over you have already cleansed you, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. Who has to stay in life union with him? We have to, right? The Bible says, draw near to him and what? Yeah, if you want to be closer to God, you have to draw near to him. You have to be the one who takes the first step towards God. So he says, if you remain in life union with me, I'll remain in life union with you. As we heard Lambert say, you know, our Christian walk is not about religion, how we can obtain the things of God by our own ability, but it's a relationship that God has provided everything for us, given to us because of the relationship that we have with him. Amen. And it's been given to us freely. As children, he's our Father. He gives all these things to us freely. Amen. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. Notice that if you stay in relationship with him, stay connected with him, he's your life source, you'll be fruitful. Amen. You know, the fruit trees that you see, you know, they're not grunting, you know, to try and to produce fruit. You know, straining to produce bananas or whatever. They're just there, right? Everything just abides in each other. Just the life flows, the you know, connected to the ground, and everything just bears itself out, right? And that's what Jesus is saying. Hey, just stay connected to me. You don't have to do nothing. Just remain in me. Stay in my word. Stay in communication with me, and you'll bear fruit. You'll be fruitful. Your life will show fruit. And understand that he's the source. Your fruitfulness will stream within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded, such as branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you will ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. So we understand that if we want to have fruitful and productive lives, it is vital that we abide and we remain in life union with Him. Right? Staying connected to the source. If there's anything that you get this morning, stay connected to the source. Amen. You know, one of the things that, my dad used to take us to go hunting at a very young age. We used to go pig hunting out in Kakalua. And I remember one time we had gotten so off course up in the mountains, we had gone, not realizing that we have gone over three different ridges because of the fog that had come in. We were going around in circles trying to find our way back home. And while we were sitting, we were walking for hours in the fog. We couldn't see our way. And we were tired. And I was sitting, and thinking about all the kind of food that I hated that I now liked. Hunger has this funny thing that when you're hungry, man, you eat anything. And that's where I was. We all were. There was four of us. And as we're sitting there, knowing that we were lost, and we didn't have cell phones back then, my dad made this comment. He says, you know what? Here's what we'll do. Let's go follow the river. And we found the river, and we followed the river. How many of you know the river will always take you out? Amen. It'll always take you out. And we got out. What I'm saying is follow the source. If you get lost and you walk with God, go back to the source. Go back to Him. Don't run from the light. Run to the light. Right? And we got out. We followed the river, just like my dad said. It was a long haul. But man, I tell you, by the time we got out, we looked, we go, where are we? So come to find out, our truck was 3 miles away. So here we are, all ragtag, all dirty, with all our rifles. And here this lovely tourist couple drive by on their rental car. And we stand in front of them and say, can we catch a ride? You guys going that way? Can one of us catch a ride to get our truck? And they look like, yeah, sure. You know. they were like, so one of my brothers jumped in, caught a ride, and was able to bring the truck back. But my whole point is, if you ever get lost in your walk with God, go back to the source. Go back to Him. Run to the light, not from it, right? So let's look at, let's read our text this morning. Let's look at Galatians. So we've been learning about abiding in the true vine, and we already established that, who the true vine is. And what happens when we remain in Christ, we begin to bear fruit. So this morning, what we want to do is we want to transition. Now that we understand how to bear fruit, we're going to talk about what those fruits are in your life. Amen? So the best place to go is Galatians, right? Chapter 5. Paul has this incredible revelation of the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to read this from the Living Translation. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Notice that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Amen. I don't know if some of you remember, a few years ago, we did a whole series of teachings of God the Holy Spirit. How many of you know? I think we did something like 9 different lessons. More specifically, we spoke about the ministry or the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. You know, the Holy Spirit, he's God, right? But he, he has all these multitask abilities as God, the Holy Spirit. I mean, he does all kinds of things. You know, if you talk about you being multitask, he invented multitask. And he does all this work, this diversity of works within our lives. In fact, you couldn't get saved or born again without the regeneration or the quickening of the Spirit of God within your life. In fact, you couldn't even be drawn to God. He would have to draw you to him. So the importance of the ministry or the work in the life as you, as a believer. And he continues to work, whether you've been serving God 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, his work continues in your life. Amen. And just as a beautiful diamond, oh, I just got the women's alert. I mentioned diamond. I read this phrase. What does women love? A chocolate cake or diamonds? Oh, okay, both. All right. And just like a diamond that's displaying its sparkling brilliance and its beauty, right? The diversity and multitasking of the Holy Spirit, who is the divine genius, who is divinely brilliant, awesome and amazing in his inner workings in your life and my life, desires to accomplish things in our lives, such as the abundant spirit-filled life that God intends for all believers to have and to experience through our yielding to the indwelling presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you know the Holy Spirit lives in you?
Amen.
The reason why he's living in you, he's doing all these things within your life, whether you realize it or not. He's working, even though you cannot see he's working. He is. Amen. So as we yield to the indwelling presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that in so doing, you know, it's not merely trying to do it on our own will, right? But it's a complete surrendering. It's a complete yielding to the will of the Holy Spirit. Understanding the Holy Spirit and yielding and submitting to his will, right? And in so doing, the Holy Spirit then is able to do what he does best. Amen. And what he does best is producing fruit or manifesting that fruit or that qualities or the character that is found in Jesus Christ as well. And these fruits are often times referred to as the graces of the Spirit of God. The graces of the Spirit of God. So Paul says, but the Holy Spirit, he produces, he cultivates these kinds of fruit in our lives, which is love. These are all characteristics or traits or fruit. We can say fruit. They are good fruit. They are kingdom fruit. And kingdom fruit lasts forever. All right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, I mentioned one of the latter series that we did, which is important in repeating, is that most believers or most Christians believe that the mark of true spiritual maturity can be known by looking at the evidence or the gifts in that are functioning through an individual. You know, we begin to determine how spiritual a person's spiritual maturity is. Oh, because they're flowing this, or they're prophesying, or the gift of healing, and all these different gifts, which is wonderful. And it needs to be operating in the body of Christ. But that's not the thermometer by which we, you know, validate spiritual maturity in a believer's life. Some others say that They tend to believe that the fruit of the Spirit demonstrated in a life of a believer is more of a sign or a mark of true spirituality.
Amen.
Amen. But I personally believe that both the fruits, the traits, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in an individual is proof or evidence of spiritual maturity. Both of them is a sign of spiritual maturity. Amen. How many of you know you're not going to let your child drive a car, right? Until they become mature. Right? So when they become mature, you go through the process of getting them, going to the test, permit, all that stuff we've been through, right? And then when they begin to become more mature, then they're able to drive your car. Amen.
Amen.
Some parents still don't let their kids drive their car, even though they're 30 or 40 years old. But anyway, that's another subject. But I believe personally that both the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are both signs of spiritual maturity in an individual life, because God wouldn't give you a gift if he didn't know that you were mature enough.
That's right.
To flow with it and to be entrusted with it, right? That's the point I wanted to make. But I believe that, as we understand that maturity is to yield and to allow the Holy Spirit's inner working within us, right? To bring about that complete balance within one's life. To be able to balance the gifts and the fruits, and to bring a balance within a life, your life, to where the fruit and the gifts are so intertwined in being cultivated and flowing together from a place of maturity. All right? I don't think it's one or the other, but I think it's both that are intertwining and working together, finding that balance. And when you find that balance, you know, Christ Jesus, he worked together, both together. He's our example, right? And it's working together because of maturity. You know, it's beautiful to watch and to see that through someone's life. Now, as you listen to the message this morning, this is one of the few things I want you to keep in your mind, some of the questions that to keep in your mind as you were talking about this morning. What I want you to ask yourself is, which fruit or character trait do you find in your life? And secondly, what do you find the most difficult fruit, or a fruit that is undeveloped in your life? Right? Because you want to, I mean, some of us already know where those areas are, you know. I mean, the gyms are, you know, the way gyms are all closed, but when you go to the gym, right, I don't know if you've ever been in a gym, and you watch the guys lifting weights, you know, you see all the guys by the dumbbells, working their arms. But you don't see much guys by the squat racks, working their legs. It's all about their arms. How big my arms can get. But you look at their legs look like bird sticks. And they got big arms. Why don't you work on your bird stick leg? Because your arms are already big. You see the point I'm making? Work on your weak points, because your arms are already big. Bigger than your head. And that's the point I want to make. If you see a predominant fruit in your life, okay, this is working in my life, I see it. But you see something else that is undeveloped, right? And this is the place you got to ask is, Holy Spirit, help me develop this part in my life. Amen. So it can be stronger. Yeah? Does that make sense? And the other question is, what fruit is primary or predominant fruit we must have? We must have. The Bible declares that God is love, right? He's not a theory of love. He's not a feeling of love. God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says God is love. And notice the list of the fruit of the Spirit begins with what?
L-O-V-E.
Love. And from love, all other eight characteristics come out of love. But love is predominant. Amen. How's your love meter this morning? So it starts, Paul starts up with love, and it's not by chance. The Spirit of God is moving on Paul, and he writes love first, right? Amen. And from love, all the other characteristics of the Spirit will be manifested. Someone once said, love is key, joy is love singing, peace is love resting, long-suffering is love enduring, kindness is love's touch, goodness is love's character, faithfulness is love's habit, gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness, self-control is love holding the reins. You ever had a highly intense conversation, husbands and wives? And you always have to have the last say? Instead of adding fuel to the fire? Well, self-control is love holding the reins, holding back. So the fruit of the Spirit begins with love. Love is the first thing in this cluster of fruit. So it is love all the way. Love at the top, love at the bottom, and love all the way down. Now the fruit of the Spirit is not a collection of unrelated fruits. You know, we don't get to pick and choose according to our conveniences, personal preference, situation, or agenda. It's not like, you know, we don't have buffets right now. It's not like you go into the buffet and it says, you know what, I'll have some of that and I'll have some of this. I don't like that. No, it comes with the whole caboodle, everything. Amen. You know, as believers, we can't pass it off as to say, you know what, I got faithfulness and self-control pretty much working pretty good in my life. But you know what, I don't need kindness. I don't need patience. I don't need loving others. But I'm good in this area. But I don't need that. No, you don't get to pick and choose which one you want. Amen. You know, the fruit comes with the whole package. And God saw fit that we need all of the characteristics of the fruit in order to be like Him. See, that's what God is. That is what God's whole purpose is about. Getting you to be more like Him. And the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit will bring you to that place to be more like Christ-like. Amen. Now, talking about patience, a man walks into the pub with his dog. The doorman says, hey, we don't allow dogs in here. And the man says, you know, oh, no, it's okay. I mean, this dog can talk. Just look, he can talk. Watch this. Hey, dog, how was your day? Rough, says the dog. Nice try, the doorman says. No, he can really talk. Check this out. Dog, what is the best thing that you love to chew on? Bark, says the dog. Get it? Bark. Tree bark. Man says, you know what? I'm losing my patience with you. Get him out or I'm going to kick the both of you out. No, he says, you know what? Just give me one more chance. One more chance. He looks at the dog. He says, now, dog, listen. Listen. Help me out here. Who is the greatest rapper in the world? The dog looks around. Bow Wow. Says the dog. They both get thrown out to the side of the curb. And while he's sitting on the curb on the sidewalk with the dog turns to him and says, Master, should I have said Kanye? Everybody say, Lord, give me patience. Give it to me now. See, the fruit of the Spirit comes as a whole package, cultivated and matured only by being in right relationship with God. That's how the fruit is cultivated and developed in your life, as we talked about, right? We talked about the different series about abiding. Jesus telling us, abiding in Him. Stay connected. Remain in me. Dwell in me. Rest in me. Stay connected, right? And if you stay connected, you'll bear much fruit. Then my Father will be glorified, right? As I said earlier, each of the nine fruit or character traits could be clearly seen in the life of Jesus. So how many of you know that Jesus is our example, our pattern, our source of leading and living a fruitful and productive life? You know, Jesus, all of a sudden, the Pharisees, you know, they came to him and they always wanted to put him in a situation to try to entrap him. There was never, you know, most of Jesus's conflict or controversy came with the religious people. Amen. And they always came with him to try to entrap him. And they would use people's lives just to get the benefit of using them to try to catch Jesus in some kind of situation. And Jesus is one day ministering, and they bring a woman that was caught in adultery. Literally caught in adultery. And they bring her to Jesus, right? Now, the question I have is, how did you guys know where she was? I'm just throwing it out. But anyway, they bring her to Jesus, right? For the sole purpose of trying to entrap him. And they say, Jesus, this woman we caught in adultery. The law of Moses says we are to stone her. What do you say? I love that song that Jesus, you know, Jesus is the expression of God's love. And here love, you know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. And here these men were exposing her in public, embarrassing her. Yes, she wasn't in the right situation, right? She was doing something wrong. But here they pull her out and expose her to the public. And Jesus, real calmly, he doesn't react to the situation. And the Bible says he writes on the ground. He's just fiddling on the ground. And then they're waiting, right? Anxiously waiting. And Jesus looks at them and says, he without sin be the first to cast the stone. And that's all he said. And how many of you know when truth goes out, it always hits the mark? Amen. And the Bible says one by one they began to drop the stones and they walked away. They knew, right? They presented one side of the law, the command of Moses, but they neglected the other side. The law of Moses says to bring both people, both persons who was in this affair, bring both of them. So where's the guy? So where's the guy? And they knew that. So Jesus, God's expression of love, he didn't condone her love. He says, then he tells her, you know, where's your condemners? Where are those who have condemned you, declared you guilty? There's none, Master. So I don't condemn you neither. Go and sin no more. Amen. 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 Can you imagine how she felt? Yeah. that is the first time she ever felt true love from a man that treated her like that.
Yeah.
And this is love in action. See, love is a verb, right? It's not a noun, it's a verb. A verb means action, right? So as believers, we can't pass it off and say, you know what, I'll take this fruit and I'll take this, but we have to take everything. Everything comes, the moment you got saved, and you know, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in, He brought everything within you, all that heaven has. But these things have to be cultivated and developed in our lives, right? Because the fruit comes with the whole package. Jesus says in John 15, 5, we read that earlier, I am the vine and you are the branches. Notice He begins to define who He is and who you are, we are. I am the vine and you are the branches, right? If you abide in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you cannot do nothing. And that's pretty simple, right? If the branch is connected to the true vine, it'll bear fruit. But if it's discarded, then it's done, right? It won't bear fruit. Turn to me. I want to throw this in. Turn to me with me to 2 Peter. We're going to look at chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. Verses 3 to 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 8. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified Translation. We're talking about living a Spirit-filled life. Living a Spirit-filled life. What is a Spirit-filled life? A Spirit-filled life that is a life that is controlled. Your life is controlled by the Spirit of God. Paul tells us to walk in the Spirit and to live in the Spirit. Those are two different things, to walk in the Spirit and to live in the Spirit. Anybody has an Amplified?
Yes.
Can you, Ruben, can you give Kalia the mic? So I don't have to go in my iPhone Bible. Can you read that aloud, Kalia? Verses 3 to 8.
For his divine power is bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence virtue. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence, and in exercising knowledge, develop self-control, and in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance, and in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety, and in godliness, develop brotherly affection, and in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful until the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One,
Oh, okay. Amen. Am I still on? Okay. Amen. In verse 8, I wanted to just really, for as these qualities are yours and are increasing, right? They keep you from being useless and unproductive in regards to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Passion says, for if these qualities are yours, which they are, see, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came within us, right, when we became born again, how many of you know God's divine nature came inside of you as well? And the power of the Holy Spirit is the one that allows you to allow this divine nature to be cultivated within your life, to be godly, right? The pastor says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, which I believe they are, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, the power to grow spiritually doesn't come by using mind over matter or to will it so from within ourselves. But the power to grow spiritually comes from God. Amen. Because we don't know how to grow ourselves spiritually or have the ability or the resources to bear or produce fruit or godly fruit or godly character. Amen. You know, one of the things when I was studying the other day, the Holy Spirit spoke, I felt impressed, was that never say you don't know. When you're faced with a situation, a relationship, or some kind of thing that is going on in your life that has to be made a decision, don't ever look at that situation and say, I don't know. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, don't ever say, I don't know. Amen. What you need to do is, Holy Spirit, you know. How many of you, He is our knower? He is the divine genius. Because He knows all things, right? Yeah. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will come in you and He will show you all things to come. Amen. It's not just things of the Word and things, pertaining to church, but in your family, in your life. He shows everything to come. He reveals things because He knows. So if you have Holy Spirit living in you, right? Say, Holy Spirit, you know. Show me, tell me what I need to know and what I need to do to render this situation. And wait on Him. Amen. And He will. Because a lot of times we just react and we just respond. And a lot of the times we don't have the wisdom in some of the decisions that we make, and we look back and we go, man, I should have waited. I shouldn't have done that. I should have, I could have, would have. Amen. But if we wait on the Holy Spirit, He has all the answers. He knows. So as a believer filled with the Holy Ghost, don't ever say, I don't know. Because He knows. And He'll tell you what you need to know. He'll tell you just enough what you need to know. And then you take that first step, and then He'll tell you again, okay, what is the next step? And then you take the next step. I mean, there are some situations that we've been in that I looked at and I go, I don't know how we're going to get to this. I don't know how we're going to do this. But you just calm yourself, relax, be still, and know that He is God. Right? Because in the silence that we silence ourselves, that's when God speaks volumes. But in all the noise, you know, we get so distracted. There's so much noise in our lives. And the voice of the Lord is so hard to see because we got all this noise coming in. And God says, you need to still your mind. You need to still your heart. And just rest in My presence. And in that time of stillness, of rest, because sometimes, you know, we can be sleeping, but our minds are going 220. And we're not resting. But in the time of solemn rest, and stillness. Sometimes we're going to talk to our head.
Amen.
Quiet. And then when we are in rest and in stillness, then we can hear. We can hear loudly because we're still. And that's when God speaks. Right? So we don't have the ability within ourselves to bear fruit or develop ourselves. Jesus said, what? Apart from me, you cannot do nothing of yourself. I am the true vine. Remember, I'm the true vine. You're the branch. You're just the branch. So branch, you need to stay connected to me. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is the developing of the fruit of the Spirit, or the traits of the character of Christ, is done by the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit within us. You see, the Spirit of God produces these character traits that are found in the nature of Christ. And these traits or characteristics are the byproducts of a life that is completely controlled by Him. Amen. Not that He's a controlling God, but because we want Him to be in control of our lives. We yield ourselves, right? It's a life of yielding so He can have control. It's not telling the Holy Spirit, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. No. He's leading your life because you're living a yielded life to Him. Because you're always asking Him questions. Holy Spirit, what should I do? Where should I go? How should I respond? See? You're acknowledging Him in your life. And the thing is, one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, one of His diverse workings in your life is He's your helper, right? Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. How many of you know, we need help? We all need help. Yeah. And Holy Spirit is more than willing to help. He wants to help us. He's our counselor, right? He's our comforter. He's our advocate. He's our standby, right? He's a paraclete, which is one who's called alongside of us to help us. And as long as you're doing something, He'll help you. But if you do nothing, He won't help you. So that's what it's a completely controlled life by the Spirit of God. The thing is, are we allowing Him to control our lives? Or we are allowing our flesh or our carnal nature to control our lives. Or we are allowing Him to control our lives, right? Amen. So in the scripture of 2 Peter, Peter is making the implication that there are some, not only just know that Jesus is Lord, but they really believe that He is Lord, right? They're believers. But whose lives are ineffective and fruitful. He's talking about some whose lives are ineffective and unfruitful. Because God has given us the divine life within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if He has done that, then why is my life unfruitful and unproductive? This is what Peter is addressing. That if the Spirit of God is in you, He has brought in the divine life of God, there is no reason for us to be unproductive and unfruitful. So what is the reason behind it? Because there are believers who are not productive and fruitful. And God wants, this is not God's best for His children, to have unfruitful and unproductive life. He wants us to be fruitful and productive so that He'll be glorified, right? But listen, here's the thing. Maybe the cause is that there's continued conflict and anxiousness that surrounds us. At your job, a strained relationship, an uncertain, unstable situation, an ongoing habit or addiction, a struggle of a sin that pops up more often than not, that you really haven't been able to defeat. Maybe a situation or something painful that happened years ago, yet you've half-heartedly given it to the Lord. Therefore, there's still the weight and guilt of that condemnation that is heavily on your heart and mind. Maybe these are causes that hinders one from experiencing the fruitful and productive life, which you never expected to be in the life of a believer. Maybe these things are hindrances that are blocking your ability to be productive and fruitful. Amen. And what Peter makes, he makes this statement to address that. He says, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he or she is blinded, having forgotten that he or she was cleansed from their former sins. Amen. How many of you know when God forgives, he forgets? He forgets. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. And that word remove, so remove, is kind of like back in the day, right? You're in class and the teacher's writing on the chalkboard. See, I don't know if we still have chalkboards in the school. You guys know what I'm talking about, okay? How come I feel like I'm alone up here? Chalkboard, chalk.
An eraser.
It was a big deal, right, in kindergarten. So-and-so, would you go erase the chalkboard? Oh, yeah, all right. It was a big deal, right? But that term, remove, is like that chalkboard. That God comes and he erases everything off the chalkboard clean. There's nothing on there. It's done. Forgotten. So why are those things still there? God wants us to have a fruitful life. The blood was more than enough to take care of that situation. We heard this morning, we're free people. Jesus has freed us, amen, from our past, present, and future sins, amen. 1 John 1:9 says, declares if us confess our sins, he, Jesus Christ, is faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us, to wipe the chalkboard clean. So we can start again. From all unrighteousness. All unrighteous acts. All unrighteous attitudes. All unrighteous behavior. Past, present, and future. This is a good God. He's our Father. God is love. Amen. So the characteristics of God are found in the fruit of the Spirit. They are not suggestions, they are not opinions for the believer in having a fulfilling spirit life, spirit-filled life. But this is a command. This is an order that all believers need to obey wholeheartedly. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 declares, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Notice that. It's a command to love the Lord your God. Can God demand that out from us? Sure he can. He's God. He created us. Right? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Notice, all your heart, your spirit. And with all your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And with all your strength, your body. What he's saying is, love God with all your being, your spirit, your heart, right? Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your physical body. Amen. Everything. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40, we won't read the whole thing. I'll just paraphrase. An individual came up to Jesus and says, one of the scholars came up and asked Jesus this question. And he addressed Jesus as teacher, right? Rabbi. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? He brings up the law. And Jesus said to him, the same quote that Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy. He tells them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and with all your mind. And Jesus goes on and says, this is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second one is like it You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends or hangs the whole law of the prophets. Notice that. If you do these two things, you love me with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself, all the two commandments, the whole commandments of the law, have been fulfilled in your life. You see, Paul tells us that God gave the law, right? God gave the law to his people, his standard by which they should live by, that he is holy, he is consecrated, that he is just. And this is the law to reveal God's standard of absolute righteousness to convict us all of true guilt before him, so that we would see our need for the gospel, the need for Jesus, because we couldn't live up to his righteousness, right? So God says, my word, Jesus, will provide you the right standing that you need in order to come before me in my presence. Because man's righteousness is as filthy rags. But the gift of righteousness, right? Right? We are righteous in Christ, right? The righteousness of God is through Christ Jesus. So he said that the law revealed God's standard of his absolute righteousness, which convinces us or convicts us of our guilt before him, so that we would see the need for the word of God. What Jesus is saying in Matthew 37, 22, 37, if you love me, if, everybody say if. If you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, you have fulfilled all the laws of my commandment. That's what he's saying. If you love me, it'll trump all the commandments. All the do's and don'ts will be eliminated if you just do these things. Now you might say, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Is my neighbor the one living across the street from me? Or the neighbor next door to me? Love my neighbor? Your neighbor is the one who is standing proximity of you wherever you are. If you're in the grocery, the person who's standing in front of you is your neighbor. That's what he's saying, Jesus is saying. It's not just the person who lives next door to you across from the street. It's the one who's proximity across you. That's your neighbor. The one who just yelled at you. Put on your mask. You're learning something this morning. I mean, Jesus just makes things plain for us, right? He just simplifies things in our lives. Amen. Let me see where I can find a place to end this. Now, when Jesus talks about love, right? It's not all that gushy stuff, right? He says, when you love me with all your heart and mind, you love me with all your soul, and love me with all your mind. The word that he's using for love is the word agape. Everybody say agape. Agape is the Greek word for God's love. Because if you study out love, there's different type of love. There's storge love, right? Storge love is a love between a parent and a child. It's a storge love. A phileo love is a love between a brother or a comrade, you know, right? Eros love is a love, a romantic, passionate love, a sensual love between a love between a wife and a husband and kept in that portion of marriage, right? There's different types of love. In fact, phileo love, right, brotherly love, it was interesting that Philadelphia is known as what? City of brotherly love. That's why you get the word Philadelphia from the word phileo. City of brotherly love. I have no clue why they call that. Hopefully it's true. But the word we're looking for, love, is agape, which is God's love. And God's love, right, is unconditional love. It's a supernatural love. It's not a natural love. It's a supernatural love that comes from Him. In fact, 1 John says, perfect love, right, cast out all fear. When God's love is being matured in your life, it will eradicate fear from your life. When you know He loves you unconditionally, right? It's amazing. It eradicates the fear from your life. So His love is unconditional. There's no conditions. There's no strings attached. It's a supernatural love. It's a God's. It's His love. And it's an everlasting love. God doesn't love you one day, and the next day He doesn't love you no more. You don't have to ask God every day, God, do you love me? Do you love me? No, you don't have to ask Him. He'll tell you the same thing. Yes, I love you. Amen. In fact, at the end of Peter's life, right? Peter, the one who denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus made it a point to meet with him on a one-on-one basis to restore Jesus to the place He had called him. In fact, he says, upon, you know, Peter was the one that had the revelation, right? Who Christ was, who Jesus was, you know. Peter says, when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? He asks his disciples who walked and lived with him for three and a half years. And only Peter was the one that responded and says, Jesus, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God, right? He had a revelation of who Jesus was. And Jesus says, blessed son, Simon, son of Barjona, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven made this known to you. And upon that revelation of who you saw, who I am, I will build my church upon that revelation, and the gates of hell, the authority of hell, shall not prevail against it. So God, Jesus declared His calling upon Peter. But then a few nights later, Peter denies Christ 3 times, even though God called him. So Jesus makes it a point when He resurrected and came back to meet with Peter. And He talks to Peter and He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter knew what He was talking about. And Peter responds, Phileo, I love you, Lord, as a brother. And Jesus responds again, Peter, do you, He says, feed my sheep. And again, Jesus says, do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, I love you, Lord, and feed my lambs. He responds in Phileo again, brotherly love. And then the third time, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter responds, agape, I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. And He restores him back to his calling. And Peter was able to respond to Jesus back, I love you unconditionally, just as you love me. See, if we have received, and I believe we all have received, God's agape, right? Amen. Then the trait and the fruit of that fruit within our lives is able to love others to that degree. To have been loved by Him is to be able to love others in that same capacity. And to have compassion. Amen?
Amen.
Because if we did not receive His love, then, you know, then we don't have the ability to love the same way that God loves. Is that right?
Amen.
But we who have received much have much to give. Amen. But we're going to close here. Next week we'll begin to talk more about the characteristics, the character, where the fruit of the Spirit deals with our character. Everybody say character. And usually, most of the time, character deals with our integrity of who we are, which is so important, because if we don't know who we are, then we don't know what we're called to do,
yeah.
Right? And character is when no one's looking. Our integrity is what is really going on the inside of us. And our character is how we respond to situations and circumstances are indicators. What is actually going on the inside of us. And I personally believe that a person's character is much more important than a gift or a talent that anyone may have. Amen. That's my own personal belief.
Amen.
Amen. Because where your gift is able to take you, it's your character that is going to keep you there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're talking about the characters and the fruits and the traits of Christ, right? And God's ever working in our lives to be more like Him. Amen. I remember Joyce Myers made this statement. She says, I know I'm not where I should be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
Or did you receive something this morning?
Amen.
Amen. God's doing a wonderful work in our church, in our lives, right? He's developing us and cultivating these gifts within our lives. Praise the Lord.